You're listening to the Sean Salisbury Show. Follow the show on Twitter at SSalisbury Show.
Fortunate now. Hey, we roll right back to back. Seg, you love this golf talk, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Solid ball striker. Is Luke with us? Luke?
Yes.
Okay, Luke Curdenine is here, USA Today. At Luke Curdenine on, and that's D-I-N-E-E-N, on Twitter. Covers it, covers golf for, on this one, a U.S. Open for the USA Today. Luke, thanks for taking the time. Shocked at how low scores have gone, at least for some of the golfers in the first two rounds?
Yeah, you know, first of all, thanks for having me. But yeah, it is a bit, was a bit surprising initially, but once you actually see the course out here this week, and you can see how it how it's happening. So, for example, the rough, a lot's been made of the rough, and it is really gnarly in places. It's classic fescue. It's dry. Your ball can nestle down, and you can make a million if you hit it in the wrong spot. But the fairways themselves are actually quite wide. So what that means is if you're actually hitting the ball in the fairway, if you're driving the ball well, because the course is long enough, it forces you to hit driver. But if you keep it in the fairway, low scores are to be had out there. I mean, that's essentially what Ricky Fowler's doing. He's keeping the ball in the fairway, he's hitting his driver well, and he's just making a ton of birdies because of it.
And Luke, with that, you mentioned the rough, yeah, but you know, we hear some whining, and then guys like Rory won't whine and Jason Day won't whine, but I understand the rough side, but this is the U.S. Open. It's not supposed to be easy. You're not supposed to shoot 15 under par. It's supposed to be rough. And that's 50, quite frankly, and you've been, I'm sure you've covered many U.S. Opens before, and their fairways have been far, far less wide, far tighter. The rough's always been, you know, high. It always is the U.S. Open. So my thing is, heck, amateurs can hit it and play with a 50 to 60-yard wide fairway. So, quite frankly, we may have scores in the 10, 12 under par by the end of the weekend if the greens and the course stay soft, correct?
Yep, I think you're exactly right. And you know what? I mean, of course pros are going to want an easier course setup, right? Like, it's more fun making birdies than making bogeys. But, I mean, I'm kind of on the side of the spectrum where I love a good, tough U.S. Open. I wouldn't want it every single week, obviously, but I want it once a year. And I think that this course setup is certainly easier than in U.S. Opens past. And I'm one for the classic, you know, tighten up the fairways, grow out the rough, make these guys work and grind it out because they don't have to in most of the PGA Tour events they encounter over the course of the year. And the U.S. Open is the time where they really have to test those skills, but more their mental skills than anything else. How tough are you? How hard are you going to work to put a score on the board?
Yeah, Luke Curdenine, USA Today, covering the U.S. Open at Erin Hills for us here, joins us on the Sean Salisbury Show. Luke, I'm with you. And we always hear this phrase, we don't want to embarrass our pros by the setup of the – why not? Pro football players, baseball players, everybody gets embarrassed sometimes. Can you overcome the embarrassment and the adversity by hitting three balls in the rough, go make a couple pars and get to stepping and keep moving? So for me, I'm with you. I want to see these guys grind because usually every single Sunday or sometimes on a Monday at the U.S. Open, we find a winner. And it's usually the guy who's the most mentally tough, and this will be the same on this one.
Yep, yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, some people say, you know, I want to watch pros make birdies. It's more exciting when they make birdies, and I can understand that. But again, we're not talking about doing this every single week. We're talking about doing this once a year. I think it's fine and totally fair game for once a year for us to get the best players in the world together and say, we're going to make the course as impossibly difficult as possible, and we're going to see how you can handle it because you're the best players in the world. You know, go for it. It requires testing a different skill set. And I think that that's what makes the U.S. Open great. So, yeah, of course, there's an element of me that's a little disappointed that the scores look like they're easier, or the course looks like it's slightly easier than usual this year. Partly that's to do with the weather, some of that's to do with the course layout. But, yeah, I'm a sucker for a good, tough U.S. Open.
There you go. And Luke, for the weekend, what's it look like in not only the buzz by the patrons and fans there, but what's the weather look like, and will the course stay soft, or are we going to expect it to be a little faster on the greens and harder to hold shots unless you're a high ball hitter?
So it looks like the weather, bad weather, is going to roll through tomorrow and Sunday. So the course is going to soak. Ordinarily, that would make it easier, but what I think is going to happen, what I've been hearing just around the grounds, is they're going to start stretching this course out because, of course, the greens will get soft and and easier if it rains. But the fairways will also stop rolling. So what that means is that the fairways soak, they're going to stretch this course out to well over 6,800 yards even, which means that even the power players are going to struggle, because this is a long course, and if they're going to get no roll because of it, it's going to start playing a lot more difficult if the rain rolls through as is expecting to. Apart from that, they're going to tuck some pins. They make them harder to get at. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the finishing score from today, if it's sort of 9 or 10 under, if that's the score that ends up winning.
Well, the cut line, I think, of what, minus one or even par, somewhere in that range, at least as of a couple hours ago. Rory McIlroy, Jason Day have struggled. What's the problem with them? Two really good drivers of the golf ball, and even you can throw in there Dustin Johnson, who may be the best driver of the golf ball in the world. What are their struggles or successes so far in round two for them?
Yeah, I think, Rory and Jason Day both missed the cut. They were talking to media afterwards, and they were saying, I just didn't hit my driver well, which is slightly surprising given, as you said, that they're such good drivers of the golf ball ordinarily. But, the way this course is structured is that there's not really much gray area. You either hit your driver well, and if you hit your driver well and in the fairway, you're going to make birdies, you're going to play well. If you don't, you're really going to shoot some high scores. You can't really miss fairways and play well. I mean, so that's why you're seeing some guys bomb out, shoot 8 over for the tournament. That's why Ricky Fowler is shooting 9 under at the moment for the tournament. So I think Rory and Jason Day just kind of both had off weeks and found themselves on the wrong end of that spectrum.
And it happens, and both of those guys next year will be in the hunt for the U.S. Open Championship, or at least going into the tournament favorite. So we look at guys like Jim Furyk, who's a straight ball hitter and a great putter and can work the ball. You look at a guy like Ricky Fowler, who's got guts but also knows how to back off. Brooks Koepka. So as we head towards moving day Saturday and into Sunday, anybody you have a feel for right now that you like just by the confidence and the look of the golf course?
Yeah, I think Brooks Koepka is the name that keeps standing out to me. He's playing well right now, really good driver of the golf ball. But, of course, there's another thing that sticks out, and it's Paul Casey. Ricky Fowler and Brooks Koepka, there's a lot of pressure on these guys, two young, marketable Americans looking for their first major. Paul Casey, of course, hasn't won a major yet, but he'll be flying a little under the radar next to those two. And he's been around on tour a lot longer, playing some really good golf right now. So I could see Ricky doing it, I could see Brooks doing it, but the more I think about it, the more I think the stars are aligning for Paul Casey here.
Nice. And before we let you go, you mentioned the weather. Will there be a lot of wind on the weekend, or will it be fairly calm, regardless of the rain and or the softness or dryness of the golf course?
Yeah, I think the wind will pick up over the next 2 days, too. So I think the easiest 2 days were definitely the first 2 days. So I think it's going to get tougher from here.
Okay, Luke, as we let you go, well, for the first two rounds, is this a golf course that deserved this major? And can you see another one coming back, or have they done a great job with this setup in your mind?
It would be interesting how the weekend pans out before deciding if it's going to get another one. I think it's a nice golf course to bring it to. I think if the U.S. Open does return, they'll make some tweaks. I wouldn't be surprised to see U.S. Open return here and suddenly the fairways get a little narrower, for example. So, it's all a trial and error process, really. And when you're hosting your first U.S. Open, you kind of figure out what works and what doesn't.
Luke Kerdineen, my kind of guy. Tight fairways, and let's grind on this thing. Writer and editor of For the Win on USA Today. We can't thank you enough for spending time with us. Enjoy the weekend, my friend, and we'll keep a close eye on these guys who keep hitting it straight and know how to make putts. Thanks for taking the time on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That's Luke Kerdineen. You can find him at USA Today and on Luke Kerdineen on Twitter. Paul Casey. Guys, the guys like Brooks Koepka, the Jim Furyks, they're always around. Another name, and I don't know what he shot today because we don't have our TV on in here, but is a guy, why am I losing my mind, from Georgia Tech, who's always grew up in Augusta. He's always, oh gosh, dang.
I'm not sure who you are.
Yeah, you are. He's always in the top three or four on the money. Wins the top of the money list all the time. Top of the money list. Tall white boy.
Okay. Snedeker?
No, not Grant
Kuchar?
Snedeker. Yeah, Kuchar. Thank you. Kuch. Is that he's always solid. you look, and I don't know where he is on the leaderboard today, if he even made the cut, but guys like him who know how to keep it in play, who are strong putters, who, you know what, don't try to overpower the golf course, and even though Matt's tall and can hit, he doesn't try to overpower the golf course and doesn't let his ego get in the way. So the Furyk of the world who hit it straight and can move the ball, do it, and Matt Kuchar seems to always be around. I don't know what he shot today.
He's one up. One over at the moment. He's through seven, and he's minus one right now.
I'm telling you, you keep an eye on guy. Now, it could be, like I said, 10 or 12, and he's a long way off the pace. But guys like that who grind and make two birdies and then shoot minus two and then head into the weekend and shoot a low score of 66 or 67 on Saturday, he's always in position. Those are the type of guys that win grinder courses like this that don't let their ego get in the way every time they put the ball and put their peg in the ground.
Yeah. Sean, to me, though, this is the weekend of Ricky Fowler because he's been so close to winning a major so
closest
many times.
He's got. He won the Players' Championship, 2 years ago. He beat Sergio Garcia. And going short side on the one on number 17. But, yeah, he's a solid ball striker, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, a couple years ago, he was a second-place finisher at virtually every major. So he's been right on the doorstep. So this weekend is going to be about Ricky Fowler and if he's actually going to break through and win that first major or
– And a likable golf player. I mean, people love him on Twitter,
except this guy because he doesn't like Americans and golfers, right?
Or if – I like Americans. I mean, that's
– Golfers, I am. Golfers.
But you're still – you must be rooting for Paul Casey then.
No, I'm not rooting for Paul Casey. I'm not a huge Paul Casey guy. But if Fowler falters, think about the storyline to come out of that. Now, Patrick Reed's right there, too. He's 500 through 9 today. But back to the Fowler point, he dresses, like, out of control, man. Like, he's got the flat brim hat that goes over his
eyes.
It's
like way out here when you take a hat off, you're holding it out here.
He's got bright orange pants. Like, come on, Ricky.
I'd
class it up.
You mentioned, though, who'd you just say before Fowler?
Patrick Reed.
Yeah, Patrick Reed.
500, yeah.
The one thing about him, he's tough, man. He is tough. He's Ryder Cup tough. He's young, and he has no fear. Now, that can work into your advantage because you're not afraid to attack a flag, but it can all, or at the tee box because you got to get driver because the golf course is so long. But he also has that cut your heart at that mentality I talk about in other athletes. I'm a big Reed fan. The question is, can he sustain it? We'll see what happens. But I wouldn't be bad seeing Ricky Fowler and wearing orange pants on Sunday just to spite you, Barrett. We got more to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, I hope he wouldn't wear the orange pants just to spite me.
He wouldn't. Rappashawn's up next.
He
might. Maybe he's watching the show right now. It's the Sean Salisbury Show. Could be. What's more important, this show or winning? Okay. We'll be right back.